to me your secrets. Show me your nightmares. All cats are gray in the dark, dear. Whether or not you dare.
Welcome to All Cats Are Gray in the Dark. I'm your host, April Simmons. This podcast contains true cases of graphic violent crimes and other stories of a dark nature. Please be advised that due to the subject matter and violent, sometimes sexual content and obscene language, this podcast is not for children or the faint of heart.
Hey, everybody. Sorry for the long hiatus. We're finally back, maybe.
For now, at least, for a little bit.
Yeah. We're here to talk about the death of our father. Just to be blunt and upfront, and it's,
That's obviously the reason for the hiatus. We weren't expecting that.
And if you listen to the show, you've heard us talk about him many, many times. We were estranged from him. We hadn't talked to him in, 5 or 6 years? Before his death. You're going to follow along with us on the journey from the moment we found out to everything else that happened in between. I don't want to say it's a murder mystery because it really isn't. It's just kind of a mystery in general. I don't want y'all to get your hopes up that this is some crazy regular true crime thing. We just felt that there was enough mystery here that somebody would be interested in hearing our story. And mainly we wanted to let other people know that it is okay to grieve even though you have a strained relationship like this. There is going to be feelings of grief, regret, all of those things, even in this situation. So we wanted to make that a big part of this, is our grief and our guilt, everything.
Yeah, I mean, even whether this were true crime, as far as definition wise, it's still hopefully some things we've learned in this situation will help others prevent this happen, you know, these types of things happening to their own loved ones. I know that just based on what we've seen in a lot of true crime, obviously I don't listen to as much, but some of the things we came across were really frustrating. And we can kind of see how some things go unsolved and guilty people get out of their crimes, obviously. We won't go into too many details right now. You'll kind of see the story unfold, but it's... hopefully this helps people in multiple ways and helps us because we're still struggling every day.
All right. Well, here's the beginning of the story. Let me set the scene for you on the day. It was the Monday before Thanksgiving, this past November. I had a doctor's appointment. Yay, right? And as per usual, I had like a bazillion things wrong with me because I have high anxiety and I don't go to the doctor very often. So when I do, I save up all the things wrong with me and go for all of those things. And that's what I did that day. And since I hadn't had like my A1C and all that stuff, since I'm diabetic, I hadn't done that in a while. I was fasting that morning. So really grouchy, of course. I had the appointment, like, I think right before lunch. I can't remember exactly, but I had it right before lunch because I work a second shift, so I don't wake up usually before noon, honestly. So it was either right before or right after lunch. And I had not eaten anything since the night before, so I was super, super grumpy and hungry. I went to the doctor's appointment and I discussed a lot of stuff with him that was wrong, including the fact, basically he ended up telling me that I was going through menopause. That's one of the things that was wrong, among other things. So I found out I'm going through menopause. I was depressed already. So I leave this doctor's appointment and immediately pretty much demand that my husband take me to go eat somewhere because I was starving and I wanted to feed the depression of going through menopause. So we picked Applebee's because I have a gift card from work. Not because we prefer Applebee's or anything. We just had a gift card and we decided to go to Applebee's. So we go to Applebee's and we sit down and we're pretty much almost, I'm a slow eater. And he was already done eating, so he already got them to bring the check. And I'm eating my last few bites of food when my phone rings and it's my mother. Which is very odd in itself because we don't really talk that often. And when we do, it's usually through email, oddly. It's very odd relationship. But anyway, so she calls and I answer because I'm about to get up and leave anyway. So I just go ahead and answer it. She immediately says, I can't remember the exact wording, but I think she said, it's your dad. They found him. He's passed. And I was just like, wait, what? I leaped up out of my seat and mouthed to my husband, dad's dead, and ran outside to talk to her outside instead of bothering other restaurant people. And she said, your uncle found him. Hadn't heard from him in weeks, and so he went to check on him. But I pretty much, at that point, I just started sobbing. And she was okay until she heard me cry, and then she started crying too. And it was a huge mess. I don't even remember any of the rest of the conversation, but basically I hurried her off the phone. I said, I've got to call Sabrina. I need to tell her before somebody else does. And so I remember you answered quickly. So I assumed you must have known something was wrong for me to be just randomly calling you in the middle of the day.
Yeah, it was like 4:30-ish, 3:30, 4:30 my time. So it was getting close to the end of the workday for me. And I was like, huh, she's even awake? It's Monday. It's her day off.
Yeah. And I was like, are you sitting down? You need to sit down.
Yeah, because honestly, I think I knew you had a doctor's appointment too. So I'm like, oh God, it's cancer. She's dying. Something's wrong. Oh God, you know. Because obviously you've even been with me at appointments where we're like, oh shit, she going to die when I had my blood clot. So like, that was what my immediate thought was.
Yeah. And after I asked you to sit down, you're like, oh no. Because yeah. You knew something was bad. And I said, dad's dead. He's probably been dead for weeks. Our uncle found him. I tried to not say the name, but it's probably going to happen at some point. Yeah. We're going to try to eliminate names, but that may happen because we're human. Our uncle found him. And I basically started sobbing, just telling her because I knew what her reaction would be. So I already stopped. I started sobbing like preemptively. I don't know. It was just really.
I don't even think I cried immediately. I was like, what? 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 And then I think the first things I said was, this is our literal worst nightmare. This is what we've been afraid of. And we may have even talked about that on one of the episodes where we talked about our family, is that one of our biggest fears that he would die alone and he wouldn't be found for weeks.
Yeah.
And then I started sobbing. And and I think we were just kind of going back and forth sobbing, not really coherent words for the most part.
And we didn't know, so we knew we were next of kin, so we were like, what do we do? Where do we start? I don't want to deal with this. We just kind of took turns bitching and sobbing, basically. We were just like, I don't know what to do. And there was, of course, that immediately feeling of guilt because we hadn't talked to him in so many years, and knowing that he died alone was hard, that nobody was there to find him.
That it took potentially 3 weeks.
Yeah. Which we didn't know how long it had been at that point, just that
It had been weeks.
Been a few weeks since anybody had heard from him. Yeah. Basically, she was like, should I go ahead and fly home? And I'm like, yeah. Like, I was like, I don't know how to deal with this. You need to be here regardless of what happens. I was like, please come home. Like, so then we finally hung up so she could look into getting a flight home.
Yeah. Like, pretty much from that point, you know, we got off the phone and I started sobbing. Like, I did some really generic, like, bullshit out of a movie where I just, like, threw myself on the ground. I'm laughing because I look back thinking, this is fucking ridiculous. But what do you do? Like, I just didn't know what to do. So, backing up to what I had just been doing, like, the previous day, we had literally just flown Justin's little brother up here for Thanksgiving. So we drove all the way to Boston to pick him up and back the day before. My husband and his little brother had driven up to where his parents live because it was his dad's birthday. So they were spending the day with his dad, and Nancy was at work. So I was literally sitting at home by myself, rolling around in the floor crying. And so then once I could finally calm myself, I immediately called Justin. He didn't answer. And I'm just like fucking panicking because he's my emotional support human. And so then I called Jacob because I'm like, Jacob's with him. Jacob might answer. So Jacob answered, and I was just like, I need to talk to Justin right now. And he was like, oh my God, okay. And like, I could hear him running through his parents' house. Like, where's Justin? So Justin gets on the phone and I tell him, I was like, is my dad? He died. He'd been here for fucking weeks, you know? And so Justin understood me through all that. Cause he also knew, like, cause one of the things we've talked about and my doubts of, should I talk to my parents again? Should I go see my dad? Because we had been periodically receiving calls from different doctors checking on, is anybody checking on him? It had even just been end of October since the last time I heard from a doctor, and they wouldn't tell me anything when they found out we were estranged. You know, so Justin knew exactly what was going on. He's like, I'm leaving now. I'm coming home. And I felt awful because, again, just flown Jacob out to spend time with family. They're hanging out with the dad. And then I just turned around and, like, they had to come back. Granted, they had already been there, like, 6 hours, so whatever. But so then I get off the phone and I don't know what to do with myself. So then I call Nancy. She doesn't answer because she's at freaking work. So then I call Subway where she works and she answers and she's like, I saw that it was you, but I didn't understand, you know? And so I told her, I was like, Nancy, my dad died, you know? And she was like, what? So then she gets someone to cover her and she comes home. And then I think I called like Tracy and Claire, and I just pretty much kept calling people the whole time I was waiting for Justin to get home. Then I called Justin and I'm like, I need you to get me cigarettes. Just do it. And he's like, I will do it. And I don't talk about it a lot. I don't smoke anymore consistently anyway. And Justin absolutely fucking hates smoking, anything to do with smoking. So the fact that he was willing to do that says a lot. He knew what this was, you know? So he was on the way home. I think I talked to you again at some point, and then, you know, just kind of on and off talked to different people. So then I think you called me back at some point because you got more information. I think that's kind of where it starts changing at that point.
Yeah. I think Mom had talked to our aunt on that side. And basically said that they believed there was foul play, and that the coroner came in and said that there was enough suspicion of the scene to suspect foul play. Which at that point we were already kind of in shock from him dying in the way and dying alone, basically. So then we were kind of just absolutely flabbergasted, and I know that's a silly word to use, but That's the only one I could think of.
We went from absolute shock to like, wait, what? What are you telling us? You think our dad could have been murdered? What?
And the family wanted Sabrina to wait about coming because they couldn't make any funeral arrangements until an autopsy would be done, which could take a while. But I begged her to come anyway. I was like, maybe we can at least get some kind of plan in place or something.
Yeah.
And
too, like, I was supposed to be coming down, like, just in, like, another week or so. Like, I think my flight was supposed to be down there December 3rd, and I was just like, I'll just rearrange my flights. I'll just pull the ones that I've got out there and move them up. I don't care the cost. And it raped my booty a little bit. That's a horrible thing to say, but that's what it felt like. It was very expensive to move all that up to, like, that night. So, like, that's what I ended up doing, was pulling up to the very first flight available, which obviously, like, I live like 2.5 hours away from the airport, so there was no way I was gonna like leave right then to make any kind of nighttime flights. But the next flight was like 5 a.m. the next morning.
Yeah. But I begged her to come because, I mean, I just needed the moral support. I didn't care about any of the rest of it. I was being selfish. I was just like, I need you here right now, because nobody else in the world understands how I feel about Dad, because nobody else has gone through it. I mean, really and truly, nobody else knows the abuse, the fear that we lived with. So finding out he was dead, we were scared and we were sad and we felt guilty. But as fucked up as it may sound, we were also relieved because we had constant nightmares about him. So we also felt that sense of relief, which also triggered even more guilt, because then we felt guilty for feeling that way. By the way, yeah. the nightmares didn't end, but they changed.
Yeah.
And they're less frequent now, I guess you could say, but That's another story for later.
Yeah, and I think too, like, again, for anybody that's not familiar, our dad made a lot of threats. He's tried breaking into my house to get to my daughter, said he would kill us, said things all the time like, I'm going to come over there and shoot your ass, I'm going to kill you. You know, these weren't just, like, we weren't scared of him for no reason. He made threats on our life pretty frequently when he didn't get his way or was upset with us. And yeah, that's definitely, I mean, I was sleeping better than I had in a long time since I moved here, because I knew he didn't know where I lived. Actually, most of the family didn't even realize I had moved across the country. I knew he didn't know where I lived, and there was a good chance, even if he tried to find me or could and found out my address, the chances of him actually making it across the country were very slim, at least without me finding out while he was making the 24-hour drive. So I was already sleeping a little better these days. But yeah, same for me. Nightmares have changed. It's hard. It was, I don't know what else to say other than all of this is hard and it's ridiculous and stupid.
And also at first, I did call some people too, but I only told people closest to me because I think I felt that I didn't deserve comfort that comes with the normal grieving process. Like, I didn't want people to be like, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, I almost felt like I didn't deserve that.
Yeah.
And I was also scared of how his family would treat us based on the fact that we didn't have anything to do with him.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we had some big fears that, like, we haven't been in touch with his side of the family, which he barely was in touch with his side of the family. We were afraid we hadn't heard from our aunt and uncle in a long time. We've never been a close family to even pretend like we were. But, you know, we didn't know how they were going to feel, because they were the ones helping him during the time that we were estranged these past, like, 6 years. And I mean, not only that, we just, like, like you said, like, I mean, I was able to call Tracy and Claire, but they've also grown up with me long enough that they also understood the situation. They aren't going to understand like you and I do, but they absolutely knew that, again, kind of, we've always been really open and blunt, that they knew that that was one of our fears, was that we were going to lose him the way we did. And they knew how he was. They had seen it firsthand. They had been there during threats and things before too. So I knew that they would understand. And like, I think I met Teams messaged my coworkers, and I sent an email out to my boss and my boss's boss, because I think my boss was out that week, because again, it was Thanksgiving and one of my coworkers was out. But I was just like, I gotta go. I'm not gonna work this week, because I just didn't even fucking know what to do, like how to proceed with anything. That's more than anything why I decided to come. I was like, how fucking good am I gonna be up here? It's going to be wrecking me. Like, I can't host Thanksgiving thinking about this shit. I can't do anything without wondering what happened and worrying about you. And like, there's no way. That's why I chose, like, again, even though it was crazy expensive, that's why I was just like, I've just got to go now. So like, I didn't even like, I think it was during all of the like finding out there was foul play, then everybody told us like, don't post anything on Facebook. So then we had to stay silent. We couldn't talk about it. You know, like, between the fact that they thought there was foul play, the fact that Dad had lots of like farming equipment and whatever else that they didn't want anybody to know so that they wouldn't come mess with anything. So then it became just, I don't know. I feel like that's when it shifted into the what the fuck realm of like, what the fuck do we do now?
Yeah. But I texted my boss that evening to let her know, and I basically found out through other coworkers that I'm close with that I did have, you know, some leave time for that. I forget what it's even called. Wow. Okay. My brain wants
bereavement.
Yes, I had bereavement time, so I didn't even know that at the time. But so I texted my boss and took off the rest of the week pretty much.
Yeah, same. I mean, I didn't know what brief, and I had, I think you actually had more than me, but I just went with it. I had already asked off for the Friday, and I was off Thanksgiving, so I just took the rest of the week off, which was really only like 2 days at that point, but just had to go figure it out. There was like just nothing, because then at that point, like, adding the foul play to it and what it, like, I don't know.
Basically, her flight was what, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning in Boston?
Yeah.
So she had to pretty much drive in the middle of the night, and I was afraid she was going to fall asleep because she's not a night person like me. So I stayed on the phone with her almost the whole drive.
No, it really was up until the last like 5 minutes. I was like, okay, I'm getting off the exit now.
Yeah.
Cause like we had, I packed like once I booked the flight, which was maybe by 7 or 8 my time, I booked to the 5 a.m. I moved it. I packed everything then, just kind of threw everything. And I was like, I'll figure this shit out later. I'll buy some stuff once I get there. Like, I packed, and I remember, like, I think I laid down at 10 p.m. and I was going to have to get up at midnight. So I tried to sleep, and of course, I just laid there in the dark on and off crying and freaked out about how the week was going to go. Because as much as I needed to be there to figure things out and be with you, I was also scared shitless of how to deal with all of it. Like, my mental stability hasn't been great as it is. But adding this on top of it, like, and then just thinking about the guilt again, and just basically just didn't sleep. And so the alarm goes off, and I realize I hadn't even eaten all day, like, because I hadn't already eaten during work hours, much less after all of that. And so my husband had already told his family, like, hey, Thanksgiving plans are canceled, because we were supposed to host. And I had literally just bought like $100 Heavenly Ham, when we were in Boston picking up Jacob. And so I just stood in the kitchen eating ham slices from the Heavenly Ham. And that was all I ate, was like 2 to 3 slices of Heavenly Ham, or honey baked ham is what it is now.
In the middle of the night.
In the middle of the night. And then just got in the car and left. Like, that's all I did.
Yeah.
I didn't even think to make coffee or do anything smart like that.
And as a side note, I forgot to throw this in because we've been both taking turns rambling. My husband bought me smokes as well. And I had quit smoking for like 2 years prior to that. So, yeah, we both just kind of broke and we were like, all right, well, doing this for the time being. I knew I wasn't going to go back to smoking permanently, but I just right that moment I was like, all right, this is what I need.
Yeah.
So I had him get me some. So I basically sat most of the time while I was on the phone with you, I was sitting on the back porch of my house smoking, yeah, chain smoking basically.
While we were waiting to like figure things out, and once I booked a flight, you had movie tickets, right?
Yes, we were supposed to go see a movie, and then I was like, I can't right now. Which I ended up going to see it later that week, but it was Black Panther and it has a lot of sad death stuff in it. It was awful. Anyway,
I finally watched that the other day. I've put it off because of the association of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I will probably never watch that movie again because of the association I have with it. But yeah, that's what we were supposed to do that day after we ate at Applebee's. And we just went, he drove me to go get cigarettes and then went home basically. But yeah, we stayed on the phone. But here's the deal. We were coming up with theories and suspects. I'm not going to name suspects, but our uncle had already stated that, what was the wording he used? Like
dubious.
That he had been around some dubious women that had took money from him. So we were already naming those as suspects and some other people that we were thinking about. But we cried more. We just took turns crying and talking about theories and making jokes to try to cheer each other up, and then rinse and repeat the whole time. Like, we just,
yeah,
it was all over.
Because like I said, it takes me about 2.5 hours to get there. Luckily, like, that was, you know, all the time I needed. Like, it wasn't busy at 1 o'clock in the morning driving to Boston. But yeah, it was a mixture, because all we really knew was things were strewn about. It looked like there could have been a struggle, and we don't know that he wasn't, they weren't able to discern anything based on the state of him.
Yeah, but based on decomp, because he had been there so long and it was an unseasonably hot November in the South. It wasn't that hot, but his heat was on like 80 or something.
Yeah. So his heat was on 80, and it had also been about 80 degrees the past previous weeks.
But anyway, when she made it safely to the airport, I basically took a Xanax and then passed out. Because I was going to have to get up and pick her up at the airport the next day at 11 a.m. But I also want to state that we did love our father, but he was extremely mentally ill. And we kept away from him for our own safety. I mean, but we do feel bad about that because we do understand mental illness, me especially. Probably the more mentally ill one out of the two of us, but
we just got different cocktails.
Yeah, we got different cocktails of crazy, but I understand mentally ill and I feel bad about it, but he was so toxic and violent.
Our whole lives.
Yeah. And another thing, we're talking about suspects, like the whole town just about would be a suspect because he was not a very well-liked person. And I hate to say that because you're not supposed to speak ill of the dead, but it is true. You know, every time you watch something like Dateline or any true crime story, they're like, you know, she was always smiling or he lit up a room. And it's like, our dad did not light up a room. He didn't. He was a very mentally ill person that was more often than not in a bad mood. Yeah. And he was just a very off-putting person because he had no filter from brain to mouth.
Like us, but extra negative about it, too. Like, nothing, you couldn't buy him a Christmas present. It was always wrong, whatever you bought.
He threw presents or cards away in front of us. Like,
yeah.
He was very negative. But like I said, most people didn't like him. And that's why when the potential of him being murdered came up, we were like, oh, dear Lord, the suspect list is going to include everybody, including us. Yeah. You know, like it's wild. But anyway, I think that pretty much wraps up the first day, I guess. We're going to try to cover the next day, which was a very full day. In the next episode, and we're going to keep going from there. And also next episode, we should have some picks up for those that are morbidly curious. We're going to have a diagram of the scene and everything like that. So tune in for next time. We're going to have hopefully an episode every 2 weeks. It's going to be 4 parts in total, and we're probably going to do the final episode after his memorial, which is not until Mother's Day. So just tune back in if you want to hear the rest of the story. You got anything else to add?
No, that's it.
No more day one. No more day one stuff.
Not that I can think of.
Okay. All right. Tune in next time.